That's no moon.
Hello there, and welcome to That's No Moon, Star Wars Legion podcast, episode 43. I'm Cockles, and England aren't playing at time of recording. Spain and France are, and from what I saw a little bit of, it's quite entertaining, but who knows what's going on. I'm back, and my first love isn't taking priority over today, and I will record today's podcast. And I have been able to play some games of Legion recently, so I have something to contribute. So here I am. But we are missing the two video boys. So it turns out video did kill the radio star, that sort of thing. Both Tom and Jack are. I think Tom is doing definitely skiing, isn't he? Right, lads. He's definitely skiing again, isn't he?
100%.
He loves it. He loves it. So it's just me and the two originals, the three amigos. Oh, oh, oh. And if you get that reference, you're a friend. First off, I'll introduce the man who I spent Saturday hanging out with. Them. We didn't get to play each other, but we played some people. He is known for loving to have fun and playing for fun. Mr. Oliver, the world champion.
Dyer. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour, ça va?
Oh, oui, oui.
And there ends the cultural elements of today's show.
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
I'm sound, mate, yeah.
Good, 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 good. Did you recover from Saturday, get home all right and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we had. I was straight into a second tournament on Sunday as well. We'll certainly go over that little blip at some point during the show.
Oh, don't. Well, the person equally on the video is shaking their head, much like they've got a rabbit in their mouth. Rah, 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 rah. Clearly, he sees enough and they're trying to get away from him. His name is Andy Manger Le Chien Terrel.
Well, it's not a rabbit in my mouth, is it?
No, but it was an analogy. You know, when a dog's got something in his mouth, it's like rrr, rrr, that sort of thing.
It's dog in my mouth, mate. That's what it is.
And are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you these days?
I'm okay, thank you very much. Are you willing? Do you want to offer some apologies to our Patreon people because you couldn't make it because you had football things on?
Yeah, obviously, I had lots of FOMO for that. I was messaging you guys, and your games hadn't even started. And I was sat there at home because football presentation wasn't until 3 o'clock, and I was just
you could have made a couple of games, couldn't you? Really?
Well, no, like it's a bit far for me just to go. I probably would have got there for one game, and then because then I've got to drive back and be in tight and like do setup and stuff for the for the venue in that. But yeah, the kids were happy. They get their participation trophies for the season, and then obviously you get the manager's player and player's player and all of that awards as well.
Did your son win any awards?
Nope. It's like
just like his dad.
it's probably worse because I coach and like it's harder for him to stand out for me. Like he's probably got to do 3-4 times as much effort as the other players have to get an award, just because he's my son. And that's probably bad, but I mean, if he gets an award, then he will bloody have deserved it. Because it's so many times you go to like these things and like the coaches stands there going, and this kid turns up 30, 40 minutes early every single session. And you're like, no, he's your son. He turns up because he has to, because otherwise how else does he get there? But they sit there and they use that as an excuse. Like, oh, yeah, he's well dedicated. No, he's just getting dragged along because he has to get that early. Like, so yeah, I refuse to give my son an award just for being my son.
Not slightly off topic for Legion, like you heard, you know, you both of you who are aware of LeBron James, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, my best friend.
Okay, yeah, so just as a side, so he this very recent, the biggest basketball star around, that sort of thing, and his son got drafted by the same team, so there's a potential that LeBron and his son Bronny could play on the same team. Imagine the expectations for young Bronny as he steps onto the court with his old man. He's like, Dad, do I give it to you? He's like, just give it here. That sort of thing. It's going to be a bit weird for him. Sorry, smaller side on that one. But yeah, I can imagine what that's like being manager of coach and father and son sort of stuff could be interesting. But there we go. Moving on. welcome to the show. We've got a few things to talk about today. We're going to just talk about our Patreon Day reviews because we saw some interesting lists. My first time seeing Commandos up close and personal type thing, and various other people we've met and that sort of stuff. So just talk about that. We'll talk about some events, and we've got the upcoming videos we've got on. And then obviously next show, we'll have some more stuff on. We're going to start doing some ranking-y, or maybe not next show, but next couple of shows, we can do some ranking-y type things. We're going to be reviewing the Sheffield GT. We're going to be doing the review of Mini Stravaganza as well off on the next show. But in the meantime, we've got some stuff that we did on Saturday. So Saturday just been, we had our Patreon play day in Tabletop Republic at Tabletop Republic in High Wycombe. So many thanks to those for hosting us. And we had many a player coming along and say hello to us. And I'll just go, just bringing up the list of who they were, because we had, some of us didn't get to play everybody because obviously it was we had multiple player games at the thing. So we had Mr. Jordan Hatswell, he of Doval Custom Cards himself, Tony Fox, Mike Reese, Gawain. We also had Simon from the Dewback crew as well. And, John Dunn was meant to come down, but he backed out, meaning me and Jack got to play each other, which was entertaining, so that was good. But first off, thank you to those coming down, and also thank you to the rest of our patrons. Without you, we can't really support the podcast and do what we do and put out the videos and put the podcast and all that sort of stuff. So thank you for all of your support. We're eternally grateful, and we will be, Jack's working on his next painting project, ready for the next giveaway, so stay tuned. You'll see pictures on social media soon when he has produced his latest piece of artwork, and believe me, it probably will be a beautiful piece of artwork as well. So Ollie, you were at the Patreon Day. What lists did you take?
So as a giant shock to absolutely nobody, I took Fury Road, as well as Fury Road. For those who didn't want to play into Fury Road, I took Blizzard Force.
Yawn. No, that's fine. To be fair, there is an element of, so if people wanted to lean into playing a tier one player with tier one lists, that kind of works. If they didn't want to play a tier one player, they played me, Jack and Tom. And they played our tier two lists and things. So I took two lists. One was an Empire list, which was Palp, Bosk, Bobber, single Dark Troopers, triple Snows, which I'd never run before, and it was just a bit of a laugh, and I just slung it together for a bit of fun, because fun does exist. The other list I took was Brian Bear's double bus, five Fleet Trooper Astromech operative Luke thing, which I really enjoyed playing with, even if I made a few mistakes. Made a few more mistakes than I would have liked to. So first list sort of stuff. So looking forward to that one. Andy, questions. Fire away with your questions.
Yeah, you said you took Palp.
Yes.
Oh, I took Ollie. What's his one pip?
So that's his anger. It's all right. I don't know. That's all right. And now you die. So Andy leapt in here with a bit of out of context tomfoolery. So I played Jack in game one and things because John couldn't make it. So we switched around player people. So it all worked out. And I was a little bit delayed because it rained and my car decided, you don't need to use your windscreen wipers. And I was like, oh, that's handy. So I had to stop for a little bit to let the rain disappear. I played Jack game one. And I think it got to a point where he had yeeted Luke so far in. And I was like, well, I'll try and now you die. And I'd never played with Pelt before. And then he played what is it?
But you class yourself as a Rebel player, right?
I am, but not for so long.
Okay, so you're a Rebel player, like that's your faction.
Never played Luke.
You've never played Luke, never, ever.
Sorry, I very rarely played Luke. I was more of a... I played Luke before... Hang on, context. I played Luke before the operative Luke cards were out, and I was a Commander Luke, obviously, before those, and then things changed, and I'd moved factions and didn't really play operative Luke.
But you've played against him, though, like...
Honestly, I played against operative Luke twice.
It's not even operative these days. It's Luke.
It was something that even though, and the amusing thing is, even though I had it in my command hand for my rebel list, it was like I'd completely forgotten about it, and I just never mind, and just forgot. So
so for context, Luke's operative free pip card that you gain, obviously, either Luke can play the card.
I am a Jedi?
Yeah. And basically, it's you pick two units at range within range one, and they can't attack this turn at all. It doesn't matter. Like, there is no workaround for that. So if you take standbys or anything like that, it is they cannot attack this turn, which is absolutely amazing when you pull it against and now you will die. Because... Mm. Palpatine can attack five times on that turn, but now he can attack a grand total of nil pois. Yeah,
it is what it is, but the thing is, and the wonderful thing is for that is that I saw it happen to me, and then I remember it, because you learn from any mistakes you make. So
well, you should, yeah, like the complete.
I will now remember that for the rest of time, because one, you dickheads will remind me, yep. And two, I just. And two, it should be something that should be stuck in my mind a lot, if that makes sense. And having not played against a lot of Op Luke and or Luke for a while, I think the last time I played Luke in a competitive way was LGT Dave Grant game 1 2 years ago.
I can guarantee that Dave would have been running that card. He loves it just as much. I mean, the downside, obviously, the other thing I didn't mention about that card is Luke can't attack. So you're kind of sacrificing one swing from Luke to stop your opponent swinging twice.
Yep.
But
not necessarily just swinging. No, you can stop them from shooting.
Fire supporting, like all of that. And especially when he picked your Dark Troopers and Palpatine. So that would have been seven attacks that turn. Yep. And you did none, and Luke swings once. You know, like the trade-off there to not swing once for your opponent not to swing seven times is probably game-winning. Like, that move alone probably won in the game.
Well, I don't know if there's context for that, but I don't know if Jack told you about how much my dice just were not rolling. I
could here we go.
Oh, here we go. Excuse central.
No, it was one of those. You know, when you had those games. And I mean, I'm going to quote Ollie from when he played Jeff and said, God dice. I had anti God dice.
Isn't that just average dice?
No, they weren't rolling really. They weren't even rolling statistically average. But it's a learning thing. So now I just remember that there's that.
What do we always say about red saves, though?
Sometimes they're just red save.
Red saves are worse than white saves because you rely on them. Like, no, so and this is the best way to look at it. Like, if you're running an Empire list, and I think it's especially true with Empire, less so with clones, you're just a 4-up save. So it's a 50-50 on every single dice. But you go into the expectation that you are going to break even on that dice roll. So you're going to hit exactly average, or you're going to like roll godly. That is your two expectations when you roll red dice. There is nothing in between. But the statistics will obviously happen eventually, and you will roll poorly. Mm-hmm. But when you roll white dice, you pick them up and you just go, I've got five saves here. I expect to pick up five models. If I pick up less, my expectation is like exceeded. And that's the difference between, I think, as I say, clones are slightly different because you kind of want to free up save most of the time if you've got surge in saves, and especially now with clone commandos of their tokens and stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, so red saves are worse.
On that, so ask Jack. On the Dark Trooper attack I did to him in turn one on his Fleet Troopers, I get 7 out of 8. And he rolls 6 saves on white dice.
Yeah.
Like, you mother of... What the hell, man? But
Did he buy Jeff's ones off eBay? I saw them up there.
But either way, so no, but that's just a learning process. But what was quite good about that is knowing that that did that to me, I then did it to someone else later by getting... when I played Tony, I will jump ahead a little bit. Played Tony, got his magdets to kill a swoop bike squad. And then jumped Luke into it and that sort of stuff. So, and then went, oh, they can't attack and do stuff. So it was, to me, I went into the day having not played a lot of Legion this year, but I played what I think it was 9 games this year so far in the tournament season anyway. And I went in going, I'm not going to win everything or anything like that. I just went in to refresh my game of it, mind of everything, particularly with one of the lists I'm running. So there's that. My game one was versus Jack. Had a bit of fun. Jack won. So that was all good. Ollie, who are you playing game one?
I was playing Mr. Mike Reese.
tell us about that game, because obviously that's Mike brought Commandos, and I don't know if you'd played much of them. I definitely hadn't when I played him later on. So tell us a bit about your game and experiences, that sort of thing.
So that was my second game into Commandos, and when the new hotness lands, obviously you have to look at your current list and just go, can I still beat this in the forms that it's going to come in? And so I played against Andy and Mike Reese, who are two pretty reasonable Republic players. Andy a little bit less so, because Mike plays it quite a lot. Andy's more of an Empire player, but Mike had probably put up there in our, in fact, maybe he's like been our top two Republic players that I can think of. Like Nathan Hall has been putting some really good tournament results in.
Reich was undefeated at Games Expo.
Yeah, and he quite qualified for Worlds and stuff, as did Nathan Hall. So I reckon, I reckon them two are up there for sure.
I'd say Mike is probably the. I don't know of any other better UK Republic player.
It's got to be Nav.
I honestly think that Nathan Hall deserves a good shout out, because he's come onto the scene, really hammered out games at like Sanctuary and in the North, and then top eighted at UK Games Expo, which is a hell of an effort. But yeah, so it was triple Republic Commandos with HQ uplink, Catan armor, the heavies. I think that was all they had on them. Kenobi with barrier push.
They had uplinks, I should say that.
I did say. I said they had uplinks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Glossed over.
That's right. Don't worry, Grandad. We'll get you to bed soon.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
And then he had Padme in there. Then two phase ones with rockets and one phase one with the Z6. And we were playing breakthrough, major offensive. Again, winning, being blue player wins me 95% of my games, because it allows me to play the missions I want, the setups that I want. And yeah, so there was a couple of choice decisions. Commandos are obviously hard to take a stab at, especially with Black Suns. But what I think people really need to do, don't be afraid of attacking them. Like, honestly, don't be afraid of attacking them. Because even if they lose one model, that's 25% of their firepower gone. And then next turn, so the way that you kill them is either A, last firsting them. So you pop the Catan and then you hit them again. B, you can attack them in melee. Or C, which is my big answer, is swoops. Because you're throwing three individual attacks at them, and you can make sure that you have an aim before going into those attacks. So you can throw your pistols over on, or you know, any order of those you can do. And I think that this is what Mike was saying, like putting suppression on them when you activate, then shooting them, then overrunning, then compulsory running them to land on them. You're putting three suppression on a courage 2 unit, potentially killing 1 to 3 minis across the course of the attack, and it really, really neuters them. I think Mike made an odd choice once in the game. He threw out Padme. So I every now and again, I'll bait people with swoops to try and get them to move a bit closer, to put themselves a bit out of a position because they know that they need to win the attrition game and things like breakthrough. So I baited a unit of swoops forward. He comes to within range 2 with Padme to take a shot at them, which then allows a bus to move up and take shots into Padme. So I think in the end it was 4-1 to me on breakthrough, but it was a heavy attrition game with Surge to Defend saves.
Did look like it from the table across from you guys, yeah. But
it was an average of 4 crits, 2 natural, 2 surges on every set of 8 dice. I was like,
just what you want. That's it. Tom played. I can't. Hang on, I need to get the schedule up. I have it there. Tom was due to play John Dunn, but John dropped out for reasons. So Jordan and Gawain were playing each other on that tape. On the table, was Jordan Gawain or was it Jordan Tony? Oh no, Tom played Tony, I think, game 1, didn't he? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, my brain's gone. It's so long ago. Anyway, Tom played behind us, and he had fun on that one. He took a double lat list. Because he was also looking to play a bit of fun as well. into game two. Ollie, you can go on this first. You played Jordan in game two.
Mr. I did.
Mr. Goble custom cards himself.
So there was a few things that I think there was a phrase that people said to me across the weekend, well, across the tournament on Saturday, which was, I need you to convince me that this list isn't any good. And it came from Mike, and it came from Jordan. It didn't come from Tony, because Tony's running my list. And so Jordan was running double ATST, two HRUs, not the HH12 run out, so Vias, three bikes, and a Naked Snows, Blizzard Force. So it was bombing run, major offensive, and I feel like it was hostile. Hostile sounds about right. Yeah, because the way that the deck came out, it left him in positions where he had to bin off Limviz, bin off rapid reinforcements, because he can't play into Limviz because he's got ATSTs and HRUs, and that's where he gets his firepower from. And he definitely can't play rapid reinforcements, because once the ATSTs are facing a certain way and Black Sun's dropping behind them, that's bye-bye to the infantry. So ended up being sort of more in my kind of swing of game. He attached bombs, two to his bikes. Oh, no, sorry, it was two bikes, not three bikes. So he attached one bomb to an ATST, two bombs to the bikes. I attached one bomb to a bus and two bombs to bikes. Because the way that it was going to fall down in major offensive is one bus is set at the long at my actual table edge, one is set at the top of where major offensive is. So he's going to have to pivot and split and choose where he's shooting. And once you know where the ATSTs are going, you can choose which of the buses you want to put a bomb onto, because that's more of your safe bet. Because if he for some reason blows up your bus, generally speaking, even if there's a unit inside it, as you set the unit up, you can be setting up in base contact with the objective token, I think. Not that the bus blew up, but that was my thoughts when doing it. And then from there, you can actually just pick up, move, and then drop. So that's a safety into a list that can, on a very good dice roll, just catch a bike off guard and drop it. So yeah, that one ended 4-2 on bombing run. I managed to drop both ATSTs, both the HRU. I think I left him with Vias.
And did you convince him to not take that list?
Yes. He said, yeah, I'm definitely not taking that.
I'd be interested. Did he say why he might be taking that? Or was it just because he didn't look? Because this is the thing. When people are saying, particularly into your list, convince me not to take it, your list is maybe the exception to the general rule of other things, because it does what it does. Because your list, it does what it does, that sort of stuff. So maybe against, I don't know, let's say Jordan played Tom or mine or Mike's. I don't know, maybe there's a different...
I think as well, when anyone says that to me or I say it to someone else, what I'm also asking you to do is don't hold back a single bit. So if I put a list on a table against someone who's quite new, I will hold back, and it's because I don't think it's fair to just pummel someone into the ground. Like, it's not enjoyable for me and it's not enjoyable for them. I want the community to keep growing, and I know the look you'll give me, Ollie, but no. I think it's important that I am not giving someone a free win. Like, I think that's very key thing. I'm like, oh, look, I'm just going to double move for the sake of it. No, I will aim and shoot, but I might choose the wrong target, the less optimal target or something like that. If I'm ahead and I'm already winning, I want to give them a chance to get back, because then they go home and go, oh, that's a really close game, can we play again? And then at the same time, they're going to keep pushing. If I start making the game a little bit more difficult, they're going to like up their game, and it's just going to, you end up in this nice little trying to push the game further, and eventually
it's training.
And eventually, obviously, I don't hold back. But when someone goes, prove to me this list is bad, and I want you to basically don't hold back. I want you to play to the best of your ability, because if I can beat you at that with this list, with you without holding back, then I can sit there and go, actually, maybe it has got legs. And obviously, the problem with Ollie's lists when you're playing against it is he's got a lot more reps than you, and he's already got a tried and tested list. So sometimes going into someone like Ollie, just playing one game isn't probably a great thing and go, oh, that list is rubbish. You need to kind of assess it and go, was the game close? And if it was, then look at either, was it mistakes you made that led you losing that game, and therefore you could replay the game of Ollie and it might get closer and closer and closer? Or is it just that one list? Because sometimes you can just have that one list that beats you. And obviously when we're practicing for Worlds, Ollie's list was definitely that for us. But I could literally pair up against any other list and I'd sit there and I'd feel mega comfortable. It was just that double armor list, and that was like the weakness of my list. And so sometimes you, it can be you pair against a sparring person and they have the like antithesis of your list. So sometimes like it's good to have someone go, prove to me this is bad. Because I've put lists together on paper and I'm like, this could work. And you literally, for the first time, you play it out and you're like, nope, it really doesn't.
That was me versus Jack. That was me versus Jack. But
then Power Double Darks does work.
But that's also a reps thing for me, knowing that
exactly
certain interactions and also remembering other units' interactions. I say to Adam Fielden, who's a good mate of mine, supports the travel sort of stuff. He's trying to relearn bits of the game. He's still at the, I wouldn't call him a rookie, but I'd call him a novice, if that makes sense. So he's still trying to get the finer nuances. He's got the basics, he knows the rules. He's trying to try and get the finer nuances of what certain things can do. But he said to me, he said, part of war games in general, and it's not, this is applicable to any, not knowing just what your stuff does, but knowing what your opponent's stuff does and knowing not to be caught out with certain things. So the prime example, me not being caught out by I am a Jedi. Oh yeah, I need to remember that.
Yeah, question. I think if you're going to grade, if you were going to grade players and like, I don't know, D tier is literally someone who's never picked up a war game and that, like, this is their first 10 games. Like, that's where I would insert a player if I had to just categorize them without even playing the person, you know. C is kind of someone who is probably a previous war gamer and Legion's their not their first game. Like, most people I would assume jump in at C if they've got previous war gaming experience. B is where you kind of, you found your faction, you know how to play, you know exactly your stuff. And then I think your A tier is when you know your stuff and you know the stuff that you don't play. And I think that's the jump. I mean, you can be an amazing player and you just don't know the other faction stuff. And there's a lot of stuff out there these days to learn. Like, I've been playing for the last 6 years. So for me, Range Troopers come out, I only have to learn Range Troopers. But if someone joined this game today, they've got to learn the entire Empire army. There's the command cards, and they'll be like, oh, Boba's got 6 command cards. I thought he only had 3 because Empire box only comes with 3. You know, like, and it's these kind of little things that will take you from a B to an A. And I think that jump is probably bigger. And you could probably win a 2-day event as a B player, potentially. Like, but being that, like, to win Worlds, I think you've got to be an A player because you need to know every interaction so you can't get caught out by a command card. And I think that's really important. Like, you need to know what their stuff can do for you to be able to react to it.
Yep.
Awesome. So I had a few fun ones over the weekend in guessing people's command cards.
Yeah.
Kind of knowing what their command hand was going to be. And also, before flipping the cards, trying to test myself on... So I was up against Jordan, and he'd put his card face down, and so I'd say to him, cool, so... I think you either. So I'm 99% sure you're going to be playing this card. So this is the reason why I'm playing this card into this. And he's there like, how did you just?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, that's a huge thing as well. Like, because once you're in that level of knowing what the other command cards are on the opposite side of the table to you, sometimes that's too easy of a guess because it's a single commander or something like that. But when you've got double commanders or even like Hero Hammer, Empire, or Rebels. Knowing what the command cards they have or the potential they can play into them, and you can kind of go, right, well, they've got R2, but are they really going to be playing Blast Off this turn? R2's at the other end of the board, he's playing Secret Mission. No, they've got Luke. Is he set up to play Son of Skywalker? It could be, or is it Sabine with explosions? And you can whittle down that thought process like Ollie's doing and going, right, Sabine's not in a good position, so if that was my list, I probably might have R2s, but let's assume I've got Sabine and Luke's because I want to do the most damage. Luke's in the better spot than Sabine. He's going to play a one pip. What's the best counter to that? I know I'll play Kenobi's two pip to be able to Guardian melee attacks. And as you say, they flip it over and you're like, wait.
Yeah, so if I'm going up against a Vader and I know that Vader's in a position where he's going to start moving in and hit a unit of Black Suns, and that's the turn he's going to do it, that's the turn I play like a discretion.
Just to get the
dodge on there. So Vader, Vader cannot go in and one-shot the unit.
Yeah.
And so if Vader can't go in and one-shot the unit, he can kill a maximum of five, of which you can bring two back with buses, like with medics during the turn, at which point you can, you know, you can disengage, you can free up positions. It just means that your action economy goes up because you're making their big play piece have to work harder to deal with you.
Yep, completely agree. And knowing command cards as well, as you said, as people said, knowing them and knowing what they will do. There's always ones that will just make you go, oh crap, remind me what that does. And for me, it's always like the ones like Iden Verzio, stuff like that. I just go, remind me what she does again, stuff like that. Or Kallus, apart from his Imperial special investigation branchy thing, ISB or whatever it's called.
Best card in the game.
That's a tier list for a later date. Best ranking the one pips, ranking the two pips, and ranking the three pips.
I think any card that gives your opponent a negative play experience is probably up there. And I think like that would be Luke's free pip for that exact reason. Mm-hmm. And it's usually cards that don't rely on rolling dice are the ones that are the biggest. So ISB, where you're shutting off Vader for a turn where he can't play a one pip, and you're playing key positions on turn six, going into turn six, absolutely like soul destroying and game winning. Luke's free pip going, you can't attack. As I said, I think that probably won Luke probably won Jack that game. I didn't watch it, but from what he told me,
I think that's fair. I think that's fair because if he doesn't play that, then I Luke.
And I think like Luke. I think. Off the top of my head, I think the top three cards would be ISB, I Am a Jedi, and Vader's Might. And Vader's Might's because of the flexibility of it being aggressive and defensive. And again, it's a card that doesn't require to roll dice. He can roll dice and he can kill some stuff. But do you ever care, Ollie, when you kill stuff with it? You're doing it because you can. It's the main reason.
It was only ever for like moves. The amount of times I've actually Vader's Mighted my own hostage behind a wall or... Just
more than doing it to your opponent.
Quite often if it's on like hostage exchange.
Yeah.
Going into my game against Tony.
I mean, I wouldn't mind talking about my second game before you do that. If you'd like.
Have you not talked about your second game?
No, we haven't. We got sidetracked into because we talked about Jordan saying why is my list bad, that sort of thing. So that we can come.
That's true.
But we can circle on the Tony games because they go back to back, I suppose. But I played Tony for my game too. I'd never played Tony. Tony's an awesome dude. He was running your list. And obviously, so to reiterate, my list was the Brian Bear double bus list that he made work in America. And I thought, oh, this looks fun. I'll try it. And I'm probably going to run it during the tournament season over MK, LGT, the Hemel event, the three events I've got slated for coming up. And it's really good fun to play, but it's easy to play, difficult to master, I think. Because the commandos when I played Mike were painful. But so anyway, playing Tony, he's running the Ollie list. We're playing on a board that we had, top tip for anyone, and Ollie pointed out towards the end of our game, outline terrain and what terrain does and where point and what things can pass through and can't pass through and do. Because Tony and I should have done that. We didn't, and it just made for a bit of we made for a strange one. I lost narrowly on the payload. I think he would have won on kill points because he managed to kill Luke. But there's things I forgot to do. Again, having not played Luke for a while, I forgot about the what's the card where he adds white dice to his defense rolls per suppression he's got.
Full of surprises.
Thank you. I played that. And I forgot to roll his white dice, which would have kept, which could/probably would have kept him alive. And I just forgot to roll it. And that, The other thing I did is also where I was moving my buses and my fleet troopers, it hampered moving my payload. So I wasn't able to move my payload fully. And that short chunk of not moving my payload fully was the difference of me not making it touch the terrain at the end of the thing. So it's just more nuance for me to learn. Brian's bus list is good. It's different to what Ollie's does in that it shoots in terms of it has guns on the buses and it doesn't have medics, because all it is doing is the buses are there to keep things like R2 and Luke alive, and you can then just catapult them forward as and when you need to. Tony and I both made mistakes. Like Ollie, you pointed out a mistake that you were like, Tony, why have you gone for that unit towards the end of the game?
Not from Yorkshire, mate. Calm down. Oh, Jesus.
Right. Hashtag generic Northern.
there was a couple of things in that. One was obviously the terrain, and you were both putting buses over terrain that was taller than the buses. But that's something to note for anybody listening. When you are trying to determine how tall your bus is, you do not take into account the gun. You only take into account the tallest bit of where the gun sits into. That is the official silhouette height of the bus. The gun doesn't make you taller.
Or the antenna.
Or the antenna. I didn't know there was an antenna.
Well, maybe there is. You snapped yours off.
Spider droid antenna. Remember that when that was the thing? It's like, oh, it's up here. But no, it's really not. But no, I was making mistakes. As in, I was learning. Well, I'm still learning. I've hardly touched the bloody buses in terms of how they pivot and interact and move around terrain. So because of that learning experience, Ollie, could you explain, just for those who haven't played buses or would like to refine how they use them, how it works?
So in terms of what?
So bus movement, pivot, reposition. How does it work when they're up against terrain and all this sorts of stuff? How should you move them properly? Because I will bet that there'll be people who innocently are making mistakes, but they probably should do it in the way it should be done, which is where me and I think Tony might have sort of come up with that sort of thing. A couple of things we need to brush up on.
So a couple of bits. I played a few practice games before Worlds. With people like Bushvax and several others, and that gave me a lot of insight into how buses correctly worked. So you cannot reposition off a reverse. A reverse is not a standard move, therefore you can only input the movement tool and then follow it correctly. If you are touching a board, so if you are flat against the board edge, you can't reposition, because your reposition would leave you would leave some of your base overhanging the board, in which case it's not allowed, but you can perform your normal moves. That's why quite often you'll see people, that's why often you'll see me setting my bus at the front edge of a deployment zone, because you can pivot and get yourself a little bit further out, and it doesn't take you off the board. If you are next to a building that, if you were to pivot, would take you above the 45-degree angle, when it sits there, that you can't reposition that as a move. Even if you can kind of hold it in place and do the move, it has to be it's a separate movement. So you reposition, that's movement one done. Then you go, because I believe a reposition itself triggers a standby before the actual move comes into effect. So it's a separate stage. So you have to make sure that the bus is legal at all individual points.
Yep.
So you can't, you can't pivot onto a building that's taller than you. You can't hang yourself more than 45 degrees. I think those are kind of like the main ones. And it's just when you look at a board, don't be afraid at the start of the game to grab your bus and go and hang it by each and every building that is on that map, so that you can decipher exactly what you can go over and exactly what you can't, because that will then give you the time to pre-plan a route of where you're going to make your attack across the board. Now, for yours and Tony's game, the entire centerpiece was taller than the buses, so that wasn't going to be a great centerpiece for either of you to play on. So playing it the way you did, had you have agreed it beforehand, would have been great, but obviously neither of you know it, it kind of works just the same way. So yeah, discuss with your opponents as well which buildings the bus can go over and which can't, because the worst thing you can come to is in the middle of a game, something that you've kind of put your bus next to that's kind of been agreed. You try and go over it and your opponent goes, no, you can't, it's taller than you are. So set expectations at the start of a game, and then you can't go wrong.
So thank you for that. I thought that might be helpful for not just myself but others as well. But the Tony and I played Payload on. We had the terrain in the middle was effectively the Shatterpoint stuff, the walls and platforms and things. So it was set up in a like a little U shaped T shape across the middle of the board. Still look fine as to play on that sort of thing. I put mine. It was on major offensive as well. So basically, I moved both buses up and blocked the two exits that could have been there. And he brought his buses up and unloaded his Black Suns with the Magdets. I was able to return the favor with I am a Jedi, and did the whole they can't attack at one point, which made Tony go, fuck. Okay, so that was fun. And I also was able to do the full of surprises Magdet to take a swoop down to one wound, which was pretty bloody cool. So many fleets, so many repairs. It's really, really cool. I'm just going to try and practice it as much as I can to keep going. But yeah, Tony won that game. I need to remember shit. So it's fun. Your game with him, go on, because you were doing the mirror matchup.
I wasn't doing the mirror matchup.
Oh, okay. You were doing the slightly not a warped mirror matchup.
No.
Did you play the Blizzard then instead?
I did. That's why I brought
Blizzard. Oh, sorry, my bad.
Tony messaged me before the weekend and he said, hey, I don't want to play a mirror match. What else have you got? And I said, I got Blizzard Force. And he was like, oh, all right. Fair enough.
That's everyone's reaction. Then they say, oh, you're going to be a road. Oh, you're going to be Blizzard Force. Oh,
hey, but it's what I know. It's what I played a lot of games with. It was weird getting Blizzard Force on the table, I'll tell you.
I'd like to see you be given a list that you know a bit about but isn't one that you made, maybe like by Andy or Tom or Jack or me or whatever, and see how you do against it, and then play a round, or say play one or two of us. I'd be interested to see if it's like...
I've seen that happen.
Go on, I haven't. Just what given by us.
It was at the...
I'm not down here, really, though. I just want to see you play a different list.
Northampton Store Championship. Both me and Nolly decided, because we were starting to look at Worlds, and it was about November, December time, wasn't it? So we both decided to take clones, and both of us did absolutely awful. Like, you were playing against Nav, and you lost to Nav, and Nav was throwing the game hard. He was making so many silly mistakes, but Ollie was like...
I just had no idea what my units did.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, why didn't you Guardian that? Oh, yeah, I've got Boil, haven't I? Like, the whole... And then he's like, oh, yeah, I can share tokens. You know, it's one of those things where he knows that, like, if you said, what can clones do? He'd tell you that they can share tokens. Oh, no. But when he was playing it, it was like, nah, just focusing on getting Yoda up there and killing shit. You know, like...
Oh, yeah, it's just a Blizzard Force player.
That's fair. So, no, it's not me disparaging your ability. It's more I just want to see you run something different.
I think if you were to give me, like, a random Empire list...
I wouldn't give you droids, by the way, just FYI. I'd not give you droids.
Oh, man, thank you. I hate droids. Hate them with passion. Give me the 6B2 list with Grievous. I'd rather that.
I can do that.
Anyway, your game with Tony.
So we were playing Breakthrough, and it was... I feel like it was hemmed in. Could have been hemmed in. Might have been hemmed in. Not too sure. I can't quite remember that one. As well as War Weary. Which went more in Tony's favour than it did in mine. Because obviously I'm Blizzard, and once Vader decides to jump up into the action, I'm struggling a little bit. So I win the bid on that one, and yeah, we end up on Breakthrough. So there was a couple of mistakes Tony made. Tony ran up units before I'd gone with like the HRUs or a good amount of the bike. So on turn one, I was able to shoot with both HRUs, three out of the four bikes, like one or two of the snows as well, just getting decent shots. I mean, the snows are rolling hot on crits, and the HRUs were getting decent pulls with aims and stuff like that. So it sort of led us up to, in the end, one of his buses was within sort of within range one of Vader by the end of turn one. So obviously our Vader's might, first thing on turn two, win the roll off. Vader's might, a unit out of the bus into Vader, and then take a swing at them. I had an abysmal swing. I think I got two blanks, two surges, and two hits. Because what I did was I double moved into the bikes, swung that into the bikes, and I was then going to Vader's might the other squad out of the bus, hoping to kill like one or two, and then just kind of leave Vader there. But Vader dealt one wound to the bikes and killed one guy with his Vader's might. So sometimes it's not great, but other times it works really, really well. So, but even that, you still take so much momentum out of Fury Road if you're able to do that without them being able to back up, because if your bikes and your HRUs are stripping models from the other Black Sun squads, the hitting power diminishes really quickly. You have to, like, I think it was also a bit of deployment was an issue. Tony had set one of the buses in such a place that until the other one had gone, it couldn't really move out properly. So there's just there's a few positioning bits, and I think sometimes Tony can get a little bit in his own head when playing against like me and my Blizzard Force especially. So obviously I've played a hell of a lot with that list.
I mean, he wouldn't be the only one who can get in his own head when playing against you, I'm sure. And I speak for myself when I've done it. We played three times now, so yeah, the two times before when I was more going, I'm scared. Because you can get in your own head when you. I think we've said on the show before about you can come up against players with reputations, and you can be like, "Oh crap!" I know I've done it when I've played you, and I know I've done it when I've played Dave.
I did it against Luke Cook in the quarterfinals of Worlds the first year I went.
Yep,
I'd literally said just before the game, oh, "I really hope I don't have to play Luke." Just because you're there just like, it's an ex-world champion, phenomenal player in the top eight. You just end up being there like, ah, what do I do here?
Andy, anyone you've gone, oh, nuts.
I'm trying to think.
Got in your head, maybe not gone, oh, nuts.
Maybe. No, I don't think I've played any major names like up front. Like, I've not played Carl Dornbos. I've not quite played Mike Barry or anything. Like, I've played him a few times on TTS and stuff. But there, I don't think I've had the pleasure of playing them in person. I've played Luke online. Actually, Finn. I've played Finn three times now. So I've played him once in person at LGT and twice online. I'm currently 0-3 against Finn. but yeah, I think I played him twice online in Vader League. And then when I came to play him in person, I was just like, oh, God damn, no. Like, as you said, I'd got into my head before that game even started. Actually, I think when I played... I think there was a bit of a reputation, obviously, the Germans being very good when we played, when I won Games Expo, playing into that a few, there was towards the end, there was a few Germans, I didn't want to like bump into them, in the nicest way possible. Like you always want to try and avoid the best players. You want someone else to do your dirty work. Because it just means that, in theory, you've got the easier life. I mean, obviously, the person's deserve to get that far when you're going that deep into a tournament. But, yeah, I think I've been really lucky at Worlds last year with the players I've faced. And then, same again, like, the year before. Like, there was no mega, mega, like, famous names. Everyone I played was a very good player, and I really enjoyed them. But it wasn't, like, straight away going, I know who that is. It's just like, yep, got no idea. This is going to be fun. I think that makes life easier, definitely. Yeah. You just walk up to the table and you're just like, yeah, this is just a game. Like,
I tell you, if you don't know who that, obviously you know who they are, but you don't know who they are at the same time. So it's quite fun to go in that.
Yeah, because I think Lila was, we had to, I remember last, when we was at Worlds of Lila, giving her a bit of a prep talk with when she got paired against Kyle, because she was like, oh, it's Kyle, man. I was like, look, you've played Ollie 100 million times, like, against Blizzard Force. It's like, it's no different. Yeah, but it's Kyle. I was like, yeah, but you've played Ollie and you've beaten how many Blizzard Force so far this weekend? You know, like, yeah, I know, but Ollie always beats me. I'm like, yeah, but does Ollie play like them? And she was like, no, they don't. And that's why I've won the other games. I'm like, there you go. And it was just like, she was instantly put off straight away because it was Kyle. And I imagine there's hundreds of people out there who've had the same experience. And probably now it's Ollie's turn. Like, people face Ollie and go, oh, bugger. Like, I've got to face him. So yeah, no, don't, we're just any normal person.
Normally,
yeah. I mean, we're all wankers, but
yeah.
especially skiing, Tom.
Yeah, prick on a stick. So you were playing Tony with his Blizzard Force. You did what you did. Any final thoughts on what? So, because obviously, do you find it? What's the word I'm looking for? Weird isn't the word. Are you honoured that people pick and go, oh, they're playing my list? Because that's, or are you still seeing that as what's his face's list over in America?
So I think with Evan Bulris.
That's it. That's what I'm exactly on.
Like Evan, yeah, absolutely. He put forward the first Fury Road list. Had I run the exact same list? Sure. I think Evans is like the speed, the frenzied, what's he called? Reckless Driver.
Reckless Driver, and I think he had a Bounty Hunter in the version, because I put it on the table and took it to Dave Grant's for a practice for First Worlds we went to.
And he had Pikes as well.
Yeah, he had Pikes as his basic units just to pad out the activation. So yeah, I think you've definitely taken it and tweaked it and dialed it up to 11.
Yeah, so it's obviously an honor to see my list on the tables. Obviously, there's two lists I've created that have been played and done well at quite a few tournaments. So, like Blizzard Force with the Commander Vader. So I was running that variant in the Operative Vader meta, and then obviously Fury Road, which I've seen a fair few people take up, and it's less so much people playing it. It's more now going a choice that I made. Because I needed to do something for Worlds, now alters what people do in terms of building lists. Because now people are going, okay, what can I do to beat Fury Road?
Yeah,
and it's exciting to see what people are now throwing out to beat Fury Road, but also still be competitive into the rest of the meta, and seeing if I can still handle that. Because I was perfectly poised for Worlds. It was clones. It was experimental droids. I built the list to beat both of those.
And it did. Any questions, Andy, for Ollie's last game three before I move on to my game three?
Is that how Lee Knight should have played the list into you? Not Lee Knight, sorry. Lee Knight's a guy I work with. Lee Macken. Sorry.
So Blizzard has two options. You can either play the hang back, take good shots, try and force your opponents into positions that are beneficial to you, and play a bit more of a slow game, which is what Blizzard should be doing on things like key positions, breakthrough. The bike should all be going around the edge of the board. Vader should just be sitting himself back, holding the line with the HR using the snows to make sure that he lives. And then the bikes are realistically going to be your scoring units unless Vader starts to make his way across the board and jumps into a score line. You can't play like that into Fury Road, because if you can't afford to split your army and go around the outsides, because you're just going to get punished really hard. So you have to double down and go on the offensive. Like, you've got impact you've got impact 16 at range 3 in Blizzard Force. Which, in theory, it's not quite a dead bus a turn, but it's close. 10, 2 shields, 1 save per 3 saves having to be made, so 9, 10, 11.
People listening, 13, what you 14. Mean, Andy, can see math numbers appearing out of Ollie's head.
Yeah, I'm trying my best. I think impact
card counting.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I think impact 16, if you're working on the laws of average with no cover, will do it, or should do it, because it's 15 is the number you need to force the saves through.
It's 8 health on a bus, isn't it?
Yeah,
8 health. 8
And you
see, so, maybe so, two shields, yeah. So, yeah. Sounds about right.
So, 15 down to 13. And then, yeah, that's you would save four out of 12. So that extra one in there should do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so no cover, average roll, 16 should kill a bus a turn. Then you've also got Vader who can run in, mop up, and he can also provide impact into range one as well. Not range one, into combat if he needs to. Obviously, I mean, you can implacable to kill a bus if you're absolutely desperate in a turn. Think on average is you're 6-12, you deal 7 wounds to the bus. So if you can do something on the way in, you should be able to pop it down. Yeah, so into Fury Road, you have to play aggressive. Into Clones, you have to play cagey. Into EXD, you just have to cry with Blizzard. It's absolutely horrid.
And there is your rock, paper, scissors for Fury, Blizzard, EXDs, and Clones and stuff. My game 3, I played Mr. Reese. We've spoken about his list. I'm not going to go over it. We were playing Recover the Supplies. I was red player for all the games I was, because I have a 5-point bid and I chose to be red because I wanted to have board edge because of the buses I had. The story of the game for me was a bus going up in turn one, which was shocking, to say the least. And then the plan sort of disintegrated from there. I tried being really aggy with Luke. I managed to pull off You Serve Your Master Well and got a clone unit to shoot at Padme to only do 2 freaking wounds. It was frustrating because in theory it should have been much, much more. We were having the debate, and Andy, we mentioned it on the chat, in the world's chat and for WhatsApp, so it's worth having this as a podcast chat. Commandos, when they're interacting with You Serve Your Master Well,
yeah.
They do not get to use the mission, complete the mission token. Can you explain?
Correct.
So I'll give you the scenario and then you give like the ruling as to that sort of
sure.
thing. So I, as player A, am using You Serve Your Master Well. It's not going to happen a lot, by the way. This is just one of those weird interactions. I, as player A, may choose to use You Serve Your Master Well on a squad of commandos who are at range of their of A, complete the mission token. I tell them to shoot at another unit. Can they use the complete the mission bonus to get 2 crits off?
No. So the reason and logic for it is when you're
should but that's my
yeah point. Thematically can go suck on one. Sorry, there's a lot well, of no, rules yeah, where thematically yeah, well, it makes sense to do X, Y, and Z, but unfortunately we live in a world where rules are black and white and written in very bad English sometimes. So the logic for it on the forums is that the complete the mission token states that when you are attacking an enemy unit, you gain critical 2. When you are attacking with Serve Your Master, you are not attacking an enemy unit, you are attacking a friendly unit. It just allows you to attack a friendly unit. So that's what breaks the rules, which is also why you can spend all of the clone tokens so obviously 1 from a unit. You can spend all of Yoda's tokens if they've played a free pip, and you can spend all of the exemplar tokens that are out there. And the best part of all of that is you can spend them and you don't have to re-roll dice. If you roll absolutely godly, or you roll like surges, you're just like, yep, spend everything, and there's nothing they can do about it. Because you're playing Serve Your Master, you can't make the clones fire support the clone commando shot, because they're not making an eligible attack to fire support, because that unit can't attack the friendly unit. But you can fire support with a Mark II or any other rebel unit in the future, by the time someone listens to this in a year's time and there's another rebel fire support unit. But at the moment, there's only a Mark II out.
Yeah.
Because that unit can obviously, is eligible to do it.
Is, query, and it's again, it's going to be really unlikely this pops up, if someone plays the Gideon 3 pip,
yep,
giving fire support to units.
Correct.
Can do that then?
Nope. Same logic applies. Because you can't fire support a Servile Master attack because it's not an eligible attack for the unit with fire support.
Oh, you meant, sorry, you meant Luke, if Luke had his own...
Correct. If another rebel unit, if another rebel unit with fire support comes out, then they can fire support Luke's. You serve your master well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
weird.
If you can time it amazingly into like a Yoda free pip, or even with Exemplar, obviously exemplar you just start.
That would be sick.
You can just burn through them tokens, and it, because you're going to force them to spend the dodges because they're defended. You're going to deliberately spend the aim straight away.
Can you choose to use surge tokens over natural crit? So say something.
Yep.
So you can say, oh, I'm not going to crit that. I'm just going to spend surge token to turn that into a hit.
Correct.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. So you can just burn through all them tokens real quick.
Yes. So that was a real interaction that Mike and I had. We had no idea. So that's why I bring that up, because it was it's an interesting one. It's going to be rare that happens too much, but it may not be rare anymore. Who knows? So that happened. But yeah, so my plan was then to yeet Luke in and do some damage, and it didn't really work out that well. He failed to save. And I was like, if he makes that one more, he's alive for the next turn, and I'm able to play I Am a Jedi and say, you're not attacking, and all this sorts of stuff. But learning experience, I was shocked to see the one bus go down so quickly. And I do mean quickly. It wasn't a case of just there's loads of impact in Mike's list. It just went down a lot quicker than I would have expected it, just statistically stuff, that sort of thing. But it is what it is. I wasn't able to even repair it in time. That's how quick it went down, even with 5 bots. Entertaining. So Mike, I conceded and said, you know, Mike, you win. He probably wins 4-1, but at the time I conceded it was 3-2, but he probably wins 4-1. So that was that. And then my final game was against Gawain, who'd come over from Wales, the most un-Welshman sounding South African, all this sorts of stuff. Gawain's a really top dude. I obviously played with him at World Teams in Spain this year. He's a really good guy. He was running experiment with droids. Was it Magnas, single Magna, triple BXs, couple of B2s, B1s, that sort of the standard sort of stuff you expect to see. Not a lot of impact. He was rolling on lots of crits. Good game. I'm now struggling to remember what the mission was, but it'll come to me in a minute. Yep, can't quite remember. I knew this was the case in advance, but the fun thing about droids is they can't be usurped, which is entertaining if you're the droid player, because you just basically have shut down one of Luke's command cards pretty much. All it does is make him have a pip one and a token and no tokens, all that sort of stuff.
All right, you just use it to serve your own unit.
Yes, exactly.
You can. Is just as good as... it's not just as good as... It gives you some flexibility, especially in Brian's list, where you serve a unit of fleets to shoot 8 white dice.
It was hostage. And then you, I just remembered it was hostage versus Gawain.
Yeah, or you can serve your hostage carrier to move. You know, you've got these... It gives you that kind of option. Like, yes, all right, against droids, I can't use their best unit to attack their own unit, unless they're running Geonosians. But you can use it on your own stuff to get another attack that round. Like, I've played Dave before where he's done that. He's just like, he's played his one pip, his hostage carrier, which is a unit of fleets. He moves him towards the enemy, shoots me round one. And then round two, he plays serve and then just goes, yeah, I'm just gonna make my hostage unit shoot you again. And then Luke's going to go and pick up that hostage in a minute anyway. So don't worry about it. Like, you can kill the fleets, but they've just deleted 2 units because of it's 10 dice at range 1, range 2 kind of thing.
Nice.
So, yeah, bear that in mind with serve. You can use it on your units.
Yeah, no, I had a plan for it. I just didn't get to pull it off in time. I was going to try and get hit. I'd force pushed something round to do it, but I'd move the unit around in the previous turn to do it, but I couldn't get it off in time because he managed to activate them first by pulling a unit out of his bag, and it was hostage, and I basically just lost by the skin of her teeth by getting a hostage around a corner. I moved it too far around the corner. I couldn't get my troop around to reclaim the dead the hostage in time. And it would have been 2-2. No, it would have been 2-1 to me because there was no way of getting his hostage back in the thing. So it is what it is. It was good fun though. Again, like I say, that was all practice. It was all practice for getting used to a new list and all sorts of stuff. And a suggestion for people, anyone coming into tournament season who's sitting there thinking, oh, I can't think of a list, can't think of a list. Sometimes look at other people's things and go with what you think might be fun and you could work quite well and run that. Because if your brain is anything like mine sometimes when you're thinking of lists before tournaments and you can't be, you get paralyzed by indecision with trying to think, oh, I need to do this and prepare for this, or I need to think about Fury Road, oh, but Blizzard Forces thing, oh, but EXD. If you get paralyzed by indecision, look at lists at other tournaments and think, I could run them, I'll practice with them, and reach out to the person that made them work and see what they say about how they work. So I spoke to Brian Bear and just said, you know what, I'm going to run your list at the weekend. How does it work, please? What's the interactions? And he gave me paragraphs of suggestions and how it works and why it's good. And one day I'll get them to work. I just didn't at that time because I was learning how the interactions work, particularly with bus movements and that sort of stuff. So if piece of advice from me, if you're paralyzed by indecision when trying to make a list pre-tournament, look at what works for other people, speak to other people and say, speak to people you play, I should say, and say, what do you think I should run? And they will tell you what you're good at. And they'll offer you the best advice, that sort of thing. Ollie, your game four, who are you? Oh, no, you didn't have a game four, did you?
Because everyone gave up, didn't want to play me.
No, Gwen chose me over you. That says a lot about what I love. No, it's fine.
It's only because you're almost the same species as him.
What? What? I'm not taking that from you.
You're not taking that from me.
You and me, arguably, if no one knew us and looked at us, they could sit and say, yeah, you know what? You two could be brothers to you and me.
Oh.
It's a very fair good.
I'll allow it. At least we don't look like Andy, because then that.
No, I have only five fingers. I have four fingers and a thumb on each hand, as opposed to the extra fingers.
Instead of Mr. Webby over here.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have extra fingers. I just got extra toes.
he is really fast.
It makes me swim quicker. It makes me swim quicker.
I'm going to get some Legion games in and swim real quick.
Yes. Talking of you getting Legion games in, you're not running a tournament this weekend.
No, I'm not. Someone else is.
Talk to us about what's happening this weekend, and then we'll talk about a few events, other events that are going on.
Yeah, so this Saturday, Sunday, we've got the Sheffield GT, so the second GT in the UK, and it's got, I think we're at 27, 28 players.
Yeah, 28.
And it's going to be five rounds of Swiss, which is technically, I think, one too many, but I'd rather have one round too many on it to allow, like, someone could lose a game and still win. It just adds it, like, a little bit of spice when you're playing pure Swiss. Like, if there was more than 30 players, then I would have done six rounds of pure Swiss. Even though, again, same logic, you don't need that six round technically, but it just allows that kind of weird scenario, and if you lose one game you can still be in it in a weird way, rather than just having four games everyone goes home. It's a bit of a weird number realistically. But yeah, getting to play in a two-day tournament, which I haven't done since Worlds. I didn't even make 2 days at Worlds. I made a single day. So technically Worlds was a single day event for me.
So what absolute gumbo, what fool, what cretin, and what Muppet got judging instead.
I will quote, I don't need to practice because I only need to start practicing from around after MKGT.
You're not going to do it in his accent as well.
Hello.
It's all right. I'm getting my own back against Mr. Footlocker this weekend.
Oh, I won't be wearing it. I can tell you that. I can tell you that for an absolute fact.
So, Ollie is organising. Ollie's TOing. Looking forward to it, Ollie. It's the first one you've done since the Davidger one, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I technically judged Northampton a bit Just left Andy to that one, but arranged it. But yeah, so I was saying to Andy, Andy came to me and he said, I feel like I've lost my competitive edge. I want to play in some more events. And so I said to him, what can I do to help? And he said, well, you could judge Sheffield if you wanted. And I was like, cool, I'll judge Sheffield. That's absolutely fine. It gives me a little bit of time to see how Range Troopers and Clone Commandos really affect the meta.
So you can, this is where Ollie goes in. I'm not going to play a tournament where potentially new units might fuck me over. I'm going to observe and then plan ahead. That's how he's thinking about this.
Yeah, the sensible. Giving Andy a chance to play in a real event and a GT, and I'd already arranged the social for it. So I was there like, yes, I'd it. Why not? Might as well, and it gives him a chance to play, and it just means I can put out weird bounties on people beating him all weekend.
Brilliant. on that note, is there any crucial information about Sheffield people might need to know? Bearing in mind this is going to go out probably 2 days before, but yeah, go on.
So list submission is at midnight on Thursday. If lists are not submitted by midnight on Thursday, it could lead to a round one loss.
Ooh!
Wow. because Andy and I both have jobs. We're both people. We need ample time on Friday to set up the event, check over all the lists, and just make sure that everything is in tip-top shape, ready for when people arrive on the Saturday morning. So, you know, if you're not getting your list in on time, then you know at the very least it'll be a warning. For the physical event itself, obviously with Andy saying it's going to be 5 rounds, so do plan ahead for travel back on Sunday. You know, do be aware for an earlier finish than perhaps you were expecting. We have the social on the Saturday night, which is karaoke, which is pre-booked. We've got 12 people attending. If you do wish to attend, do let me know and I will see what I can do about squeezing you in, but I can't make any promises as I'm not entirely sure how big the room is we're getting, but we can definitely have the 12, and all likelihood is you'll be able to eat at the venue as well as drink.
Nice. So that's Sheffield. I've just thought I'd jump on and talk about a couple of other events and things. So I've just gone on to what people should go on to find events now, wherever you are in the globe, legionevents.app. And do you know what's refreshing to see? Proper global, we're talking three continents worth, but loads of events in the North Americas, a couple of events in Australia, and then if I scroll into Europe, seems like the French are letting everyone know what's going on. 4 events in France going on that people could attend, 1 in Belgium, and then 2 in the Netherlands, which is pretty cool. These are all a long way off. Like the one in Belgium, is not till the 24th of November, which would be pretty cool. And then the ones in France, if anyone's looking for a trip, you've got one in Normandy, you've got one south of Paris, one in Troyes, one in Nancy, and I thought you'd like that, Ollie, that one called Nancy, and one in Bourges.
Are you a regular?
In Nancy. unfortunately not. But yeah, there's loads going on. There's loads going on, which is pretty cool. Moving more to local areas, let's go North London. If I click on here, LGT 28th of September. Who's running that one? Is it you or Andy? Is it Andy or Ali?
It is Karis's birthday, so I am nowhere near LGT this year.
I thought you were going to say I'm nowhere near Karis.
Yeah, people, there's no Fury Road LGT this year.
Tony might go.
All right, there's no Fury Road by the Fury Road Expert this year. There you go. So that's
LGT is usually a good laugh. I mean,
I've been greenlit. I'm looking forward to it.
For me, it's the
original event.
You get greenlit for the event where most of us can't make it.
they're still doing really bad.
I know that Tom's a no, Jack's a no, I'm a no, Chris Smith was a no.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing, Chris Smith isn't going with his extra thing.
Alfie's dad's not going.
Alfie's dad. Alfie's dad's granddad's son.
Which means that Alfie's sister's brother also isn't going.
Maybe.
but yeah. So yeah, that's okay. Well, that's interesting. But either way, there'll be still people in attendance. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And I think London is one of the probably the most expensive out of all of them to go to. Maybe Games Expo can rival it, just because of the location and stuff. I think you can keep it cheap.
I think Games Expo is more expensive only because if you're in London, At the Lee Valley Athletic Center,
you can get a cheap hotel.
Well, you can get a cheaper hotel. You can find Airbnbs. You can get cheaper food because there's little Tesco's and whatnot nearby. I looked at a case of 12 bottles of water in UK Games Expo Londis, and it was £18.
Bloody hell!
Yeah, got you by the balls there.
No, it's just water from the freaking spring fountains of
actually, no, it was more than that. No, 18 is actually not an unreasonable price for it. No, it was 27. That was it. £27 for water. Water in a Londis. A Londis.
But what I was saying is it's on the slightly expensive of the GTs, but it's usually worth going to. I think it's great to see it with all the other games there. It's usually the way I like to see it as well. Like it, when you see all the game systems around as well as Legion amongst it all, it kind of makes you... It's a different thing compared to like Games Expo.
You have to ignore the so when you're raised up higher though, you have to ignore the cloud of green smell that is where all the 40k.
Oh yeah, but that's fine because you're nowhere near it, and you're upper echelons of the better area.
Yeah, looking down with the better game. Looking down, going, Jesus.
Yeah. With the better game systems like A Song of Ice and Fire and like Armada and X-Wing are all in the same area.
And Legion.
Yeah, of course. That's why you're there to play.
That's a given. That's No Moon, A Song of Ice and Fire podcast.
Yeah.
So there's that going on the 28th. And then obviously you've got, let's pick out one more just for the minute.
Oh, actually, while you're looking at events, it has reminded me I do have an announcement for MKGT.
Is it the one?
Is it my announcement?
No, you can do that separately. I've got so we've got two announcements for it, one from Ollie and one from me and Louisa. So from us, it's obviously it's a month out, but we're still adding sponsors. So Lee and Ben from Crafty Terrain have very kindly donated a £25 voucher to the prize pool, along with bringing two tables of terrain of theirs. Obviously, if you watch their channel over on YouTube, you'll see the quality of the terrain that they're going to be bringing, and sponsoring two tables of terrain for us as well. So people have already brought their tickets, it's no different, but we're still finding sponsors for you. And I think technically we've got,
we're sponsoring, but what are we actually giving you?
I was going to say, it's one sponsor that we've kind of waited till last because it is kind of probably a given, the fact that I'm on the podcast and I'm running the event. That's No Moon, our sponsors of the event. You are sponsoring the wooden spoon positions.
My prize.
And the prize for last place.
That's fine.
I think it's and the medals, which obviously we give out for best in faction, best painted, and all of that. Yeah, so that's all being sponsored by That's No Moon.
We may also end up doing the charity raffle for the...
I do have one. Yes, for it's the, above me.
Oh, what's it called?
The Strike Me Down.
Yeah, so we may be doing the charity raffle for You Strike Me Down set from Star Wars Celebration as well. But all these things, there's a few outside organizy bits, which I have an announcement for today, as we've had confirmations for it.
How exciting.
So as many of you listening at home know, I tend to plan the socials at the Big Legion events. We have karaoke at Sheffield, and so I looked in Milton Keynes, and for some reason Milton Keynes seems to be a pit of nothing for karaoke. There is a single Japanese restaurant in the city centre that does karaoke, and that's in two separate rooms for 22 people. Now, unfortunately, when speaking with the Japanese restaurant, they said, we can't host you all, and we don't want it, because it's going to be too many food orders too quickly. And so I was like,
You can't get that.
Sorry, you can't cope. You cut out there, didn't you?
I said, to be fair, you kind of get, because if they can't cope and they're beaten, they can't cope, at least they've been up front with you rather than trying and failing.
Yeah, no, and that's preferable. We don't want another Chris Smith Daventry Indian meal.
Oh my God.
Oh. 3 hours. Me and Tom went to the pub 3 times whilst we were waiting for our main course.
That was so. I mean, that's not, by the way, not Chris's fault.
Not Chris's fault.
But it was a long wait.
But back to the big announcement. So we have got a private karaoke DJ who will be arriving at the Leonardo Hotel in Milton Keynes at 7 p.m. to set up, ready for our own private karaoke room from 8 p.m. till midnight.
Let's go,
let's
girls.
Let's go, girls.
Come on.
That's really annoying. I've got to time you saying let's go, girls, when I do the post edit and put that audio back in. That's been a real pain in the tits to do.
Ah, dear. So tickets for this, as we do have to ticket it, as unfortunately I can't foot the bill for this kind of thing, they are still £20 each. And you can just PayPal me at ollydyer123@icloud.com. Message me before sending the money over to make sure you've got the correct spelling of said email. But do please contact either Andy or myself, and we will be able to sort you out with entry into that. So that is going to be super, super exciting. 4 hours, 20,000 songs. We've already got all the Polish guys signed up except for Oscar, because it's a school night for him, as always. And we've got both of the Swedish guys, they're coming out as well. The usual faces, there'll be myself, Tom, Andy, Jack, and Mr. Cockles. And we will all be.
Louisa's looking forward to it.
Louisa will be joining, and potentially Mandy
request.
As well.
I have a special request, actually, that came in from one of our team's wives. Tom's wife, Amanda, who is quite pregnant at the moment, she obviously is looking to come out for the social in the evening. When Tom comes out, she has a specific request because she's heard about it and she wants to see it. And all I'm going to say is, sweet transvestite.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's
just... And the person who knows what that is, so all they need to know, and yep, that's what I'm going to say.
I mean, so, we're getting that rendition at Sheffield as well, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no, he's not there.
Oh, is he not?
It's John.
I saw many of the Dora's Explorers are all on the way up to Sheffield.
But none of them are doing the social because they're all staying at Doble's and he lives too far out.
Or
Doble's parents, I'm not too sure. So they live a bit too far out.
Crash at their parents, love it. Like, yeah, sounds like you're like 12 again.
And I know Gawain dropped out today because of who he's sharing with. So he's not going to be at karaoke, but I think John had an extra.
Someone else stepped in.
So private karaoke DJ, our own. In the Legion room, where all the tables are, you'll see me and Andy carrying tables off to the side so we can set up an area for it.
And that also means that obviously the drink will be drinking, that you can keep the festivities and frivolities within the hotel. We can just drink till whenever in the hotel and that sort of stuff as well. Don't have to worry about ourselves in other bars and all that sort of stuff. Being kicked out of Brewdog because you sang too loudly.
Instead, we're going to be encouraging you to sing super loudly. And that is until midnight. And then obviously we will then frequent elsewhere, I imagine, afterwards. But for people who are just wanting to come for a level of the social but not go out for the entire thing, you can come along to the karaoke. What we're planning on doing is getting something like a large-ish pizza order put in, where everyone will pay kind of a set amount and we're just going to order a load of pizzas to the hotel and then people can kind of just pick at it as they go. Except for me, because I can't eat milk or garlic, so I'll be eating my own things.
So keep an eyes posted on that. Andy and Ollie and myself will be reminding people about that, and you'll hear about it on the podcast shows, all that sorts of stuff. That's happening there. What's the other things we're going to talk about? So that's events. That's the immediate events going on, really. If you have events that you want plugging and you're looking for support, you may contact us because we are all about the support for growing the community. So if you're running an event, for the first time, well, it doesn't matter when it is, and you're running an event, you're looking for a bit of prize support, tournament support kit, you may contact Mr. Dyer. And how do they do that? And what's going on with that? And what they do?
So you can pop me a message. So I've recently sent out a couple of kits to Germany. We've got three kits on their way out there at the moment, and one's going to Steve Pryor, which went out today as well. And so those will be, hopefully, with those guys ready to go. We do have kits available. They are £25 if you are a Patreon member. If you are not a Patreon member, it is £30 per kit. The kits come with foil cards, all kind of self-designs from Doughball Custom Cards. If I'm coming to the events, I will hand deliver them myself. If not, we do free postage to anywhere in the UK. Outside of the UK, we are having to start to charge for postage, as postage costs are continually going up. And so we do need to combat that a little.
Yep. So that's benefits of more Patreon stuff and things like that. And how can they contact you?
So you can contact me on Discord, cbt3-thatsnomoon, as well as emailing me at ollie@thatsnomoonpodcast.com,
because the website, when I finish off, will be thatsnomoonpodcast.com. So see how it all looks. See how it all ties in together.
Does tie in. And apparently we're getting a website.
Hey. Yeah. We've been...
We didn't have this discussion 4 years ago.
No. Register the domain name with the email, so it works out quite well, mate. So just catch up with technology. But you do the practical stuff. We do the technological stuff, because without you're a technophobe, it's all good. It's fine. Videos as well. So obviously Tom and Jack have been beavering away making lots of videos. Obviously with the Patreon day, we've managed to get loads of battle reports recorded as well, which will come out on the YouTube channel, which is at TNM Pod on YouTube. And you'll be able to see the battle reports with me and Tony, me and Mike, and me and Gawain. And then you'll be able to see the one which was Ollie and Ollie and Tony, I think it was, Tom and one other, and then I can't remember the other third one. So there's seven that came out, and we were able to get loads on. The next one coming out is going to be Tom versus Jordan Hatswell, Mr. Doughball Custom Cards himself. Not we've plugged him quite well here. I hope we get a thanks. Jordan's game with Tom will be the next one coming out, and that's it's a doozy. There's an interesting interaction that happens later in the game, which no spoilers, you can look forward to. On the creative side of things, Jack has just started working on the next set of projects that he is, and I believe he offered said projects to Andy as a prize support for MKGT as well, so that's up to him. But also he's working on painting that we can then provide to you as a Patreon support prize and all sorts of stuff, as well as, but I think the recent video that's been doing quite well has been his video on object source lighting, which I know Andy was interested in because he's looking to up his paint game. And Ollie, would you be interested in maybe some of these tips?
Nope.
I thought that was the answer to be fair. If you have any video ideas in terms of the hobby stuff that you would like to see Jack, because he's the better of us at painting, which is probably fair, to try and or teach, please let us know. And you can let Tom know, because he does all our video stuff and things. So you can go tom@thatsnomoonpodcast.com, and he will delegate that work to Jack, whether Jack likes it or not. On top of that, if you have anything in terms of rules, interactions, tactics, and things like that, we haven't done any tactics videos for a little while, but it's something that's not we've not forgotten. Please let us know. We can add those in there as well and do some shorts. Finally, Ollie, you have been... Well, it's not finally. Yes, finally. You have been preparing another tournament. Please tell us what it is.
I have. So we have a Patreon-exclusive TTS/in-person league. Ooh. That we are going to be running. So the premise of it is we're going to split it into... So essentially there's going to be four pods of players, depending on numbers. I think we're looking at around 16 at the moment, which is good. And then we can add one of the podcasters into each of the pods to make that up into 20. And then that is going to essentially be a round robin tournament where there will be prizes for winning your pod. So coming first place out of the five-player pod. And then on top of that, we will then be going into single elimination rounds to crown our first ever TNM champion.
Am I allowed to win our own tournament?
No. You can win it, but you're not getting any of the prizes.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care about the prizes. I just want to be claimed as the champion.
Yeah. So if for any reason a TNM member is at the top of a pod or does win any of the first, second, third or fourth prizes, those prizes will be passed down to the next player. As of course, we're not going to win our own prizes. The prizes will be ranging from Tarot Legion promos. We'll have some dice in there. Jack is going to be painting up something for the first place prize. As well as just all other kinds of random bits and bobs. So, you know, this might be a discount on any TNM future events. So it's going to be a fun event. You can play your games either in person, if you live close enough to people, or you can play them online. And we'll be doing this via challenge, as that's the only system that I've come across that can accommodate multiple different pods.
I'll go with yes.
I'll be putting just a small pack together and releasing that out. Hopefully Andy's going to help me out with a Google form for official sign-ups.
Oh yeah, because it's technology, so yeah, you need that. Yeah,
it's technology, so it confuses and scares me. Yes. So just so we can get official sign-ups, what we are aiming to do is have the close up for the lists is going to be on the 26th of July, and we're going to be starting on Monday the 29th of July. So it's pushed a little bit of a week back just so that we can make sure we've got everything in place properly and make sure that we're giving everybody as good a tournament as we can. But it's just going to encourage all of our Patreon members from all across the world to interact with each other. And as it's just a little reward, as a, you know, a little thank you, we'll put some prizes on the line and, of course, free of entry.
Yes, we shall.
Gives us some good content because we can... if they're being played on TCS, if we're not doing anything, then we can stream it and give commentary.
Yeah, so the aim is to stream all of the single elimination games. So we'll stream the semifinals and we'll stream the finals. So straight onto YouTube. I imagine that if Tom isn't available, Andy and I, or Andy and Cockles, or Cockles and I, a mixture of two of us will be able
and
to.
Jack. Yeah, and Jack. Don't forget Jack exists.
Yeah, I remember No Doubts Prouts. we will make sure that we put something together, and of course you're welcome to stream your own games into the podcast Discord as well for people to watch.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so that's cool that's happening. Did you automatically put me down for playing, or
yeah, so it's on? So it's you, me, Andy and Jack are automatically down, as I know Tom really doesn't like TTS. So
I don't, but because I want to I don't like TTS, but I'll play because it'll be cool to keep to play against our supporters and stuff. That's all cool. And if I'm lucky enough to get a pod where they're all local, then I'll just go local. So that's cool. Trying to think of anything else really for wrapping up of the show. I don't think there's much else left on other than sort of off Legion topic again. Obviously, as you know, I'm a sports fan. I'll be running be setting up a league soon for the fantasy football for the Premier League come up for the next season when it starts up soon. So anyone's welcome to join. It'd be a bit of fun for the Legion things. I will try and look. I'll try and give a little prize for the best Star Wars related Premier League football team name, which would be quite fun. So that'd be good laugh. But other than that, this episode is quite shorter because the next episode we've got Mini Stravaganza, Sheffield Reactions and MKGT prep and all this stuff and Range Trooper observation thoughts. So this one's a short one for next time coming in. So Andy, unless you have any other business?
No, all good, man.
Wonderful. Ollie, do you have any other business?
No.
Go on. I was going to say, can you give me a prediction as to where you think what record Andy will have?
Out of five games, I think he'll go 4-1.
Ooh, I don't know. Have you actually decided what you're taking?
I don't think he is equipped at the moment to take to take on a Dave Grant.
His list isn't the one I'm worried about.
I'm really intrigued to know. Well, this will be an off-air conversation. We'll find out by the end of the next episode.
Yeah, there is a player in attendance.
Wow.
And if they take a list that I'm expecting them to take, it's the one that I'm probably the most worried about.
Is it the one that I think...
It's that one, yeah.
It has something in the air tonight. The sound that night. Canandos. No,
that doesn't bother me.
That one. It's not what I thought. No. Okay, fair enough. Cool. Well, in which case, I look forward to seeing what the end result of that one is. Andy, if people want to contact you, how do they do it?
Grab me on Facebook as Andrew Terrell, or you can find me as AJST with various that's No Moon and Fifth Trooper tags and MKGT tags, etc.
Dog eating tags.
Or you can grab me on my email address, which is, I believe, AJST at no, it's not. It's Andrew. I don't even know what it is.
Andy
there we
at
go.
NoMoonPodcast.com.
That's the one.
Which. Andy at NASMoonPodcast.com. You're welcome. Ollie, AOB, nothing else to add? You've said where people can contact you or not. We won't go over it again. I'm Cockles. You can go Cockles at NASMoonPodcast.com. Get me through there. Facebook, Discord, whatever, that sort of stuff. If you have video ideas, Tom at NASMoonPodcast.com, and Tom will happily talk to you about that sort of stuff. On that note, thank you very much for listening. Look forward to seeing you on the next show. Look forward to hearing the Sheffield GT reviews, and let's bring on Mini Stravaganza. See you in a couple of weeks. Goodbye.
You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook, That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon Podcast.